Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jeremy Lambert, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you possibly can be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your Booty Pro Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I don't hate you, Jeremy. I don't even dislike you. I do like you. I like you a hell of a lot more than I like a lot of people at Fightful Gaming. I hate this idea that you're the best, because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. There's one thing you're better at than me, and that's kissing Joe Hulbert's ass. You're as good at kissing his ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're better than Joel. He's a pretty good ass kisser. Always was and still is. Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Sean Ross Sapp saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. That's right. I'm a Sean Ross Sapp gal. You know who else was a Sean Ross Sapp gal? Brock Lesnar. And he split just like I'm splitting. But the biggest difference between me and Brock is that I'm leaving with the Booty Pro Wrestling Championship. I grabbed so many of Fightful Gaming's brass rings that it finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me. And the fact that day in and day out for almost 6 years, I've proved it to everybody that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me. And yet, no matter how many times I prove it, I'm not on your lovely little collector cups. I'm not on the program. I'm barely promoted. I don't get to be in Fightful movies. I'm certainly not on any crappy show on the Fightful Gaming Twitch stream. I'm not on the poster of WrestleMania. I'm not on the signature that's produced at the start of the show. I'm not on Sour Graps. I'm not on Jimmy Fallon. But the matter of fact is that I should be. And trust me, this isn't Sour Graps, but the fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania and I'm not makes me sick. Oh, and hey, let me get something straight. Those of you who are cheering me right now, you are just as big a part of me leaving as anything else, because you're the ones sipping out of those collector cups right now. You're the ones buying the program that my face isn't on the cover of. And then at 5 a.m. at the airport, you try to shove it in my face so you can get an autograph and try and sell it on eBay because you're too lazy to get a real job. I am leaving with the Booty Pro Championship on July 17th. And hell, who knows? Maybe I'll defend it at New Japan Pro Wrestling. Maybe I'll go back to Ring of Honor. Hi, Colt Cabana. How you doing? The reason I'm leaving is you people, because after I'm gone from Fightful Gaming, you're still going to pour money into this Twitch stream. I'm just a spoke on the wheel. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that. And Fightful's going to make money despite itself. Jeremy is a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? Because he surrounds himself with glad-handed, nonsensical, douchebag yes men like Joel Pearl, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe Fightful Gaming will get better after Jeremy is dead, but it's just going to get taken over by his idiotic co-hosts and his doofus moderators and the rest of the stupid Fightful family. Let me tell you a personal story about Jeremy Lambert, all right? We do this whole anti-bullying...
And I said, psychosis!
This one's for all pals and O'Neill. Such a feed from the jaws of victory with the pipe gun and the chubby cheese distraction. Hey! Podcast, we will fill. Wins and losses, don't mean shit. So what's Joseph Grinch as I do his bit? Distraction.
Hello, welcome everyone to the distraction. The great Kate Hensler, just a fantastic.
That was terrific.
Listen, everyone knows what I'm going to do, right? I pull back the curtain after every single cold open, folks. That all of those adjustments were just Kate on the fly working.
Yes.
That was a masterpiece. Seriously, like I was confident in that bit. It was one of the greatest things we've ever done. That was tremendous.
Kate Unbelievable.
I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always by Joseph Holbert. And I mean, the third member of our team at this point, and Ben, the third member of our team, Jack Crosby is here. As we had a big show, a big boost. Apparently a lot of news happened yesterday. So a lot of people here. Let me get to all these super chats that were rolling in before the show even started. Man Antonio says, I hope you guys don't mind me posting your reactions from Twitch or Patreon. They're just incredible. At the show last night, I was shocked to find out that hardly no one knew of the Punk and Brian news. No, dude, that we were on the stream. Really? Joseph and I were on stream when
that was wild. That was crazy.
Cast sent me the Brian news, and yeah, the reaction I thought was great. Hopefully it leads to a boost in our Patreon subs.
By the way, Drew, I know we have a couple of super chats here. Is Kate still here?
Yeah, you want
to
bring her on?
Can we just get Kate to plug her stuff? Because yes. That was too good. I don't want to ruin the kayfabe here. But
Kate, that was fantastic.
I was like trying to sub names in, and I was thinking anything for like the Rock or Hulk Hogan, I guess. But thank you guys so much. That was way more fun than it should have been. I think I've done the shoot version of that promo like every day since 2011. So you can follow me at Kate on Deck. I see. I also do the Mark Order Pod every Wednesday night immediately after AW Dynamite. We cover all things All Elite. I sing Cult of Personality at my co-hosts a lot yesterday. I got muted a lot yesterday because I'm a huge Mark, if you couldn't tell. So thank you for letting me plug myself and having me on. That was way more fun than it should have been.
That was great. That was awesome. I'm so glad we did that.
What does your shirt say, Kate? You spent $5 on this. You may as well. Yes.
Jeremy sucks marbles.
Sweet hater.
You guys didn't know. Hater, you have told me you're going to feature me.
I am.
My dog.
And your dog. 100%.
All I'm doing is bragging about the fact that I beat you at marbles, which is a game that requires
a simulation game.
Yeah. It requires strategy. It requires smarts.
Uh-huh. I'm just asking out of curiosity, Kate, do those shirts come in newborn sizes?
I've got leftover iron-on transfer letters, and okay. I can probably find a bright orange onesie if you need it.
Again, just curious. No reason.
No, of course. I'll probably auction this off like ring gear. If anybody wants
newborn, you know, like a onesie. I'm just wondering what kind of.
Yeah. No, definitely don't DM me. We won't talk.
Both of you get out of here. I'm singing. This is my show. This is my show here.
This is a show built on. Listen, this show is built on the star power of our guests. Okay, this is Impact Wrestling now. Okay, it's the guys we've let in that bring the attraction. They're all great. We have a lot to talk about, folks. We will talk about professional wrestling today. I believe that is our intention. But I wanted to let Kate plug her stuff. Do we have any other super chats during before Jack
we
returns?
Have a lot,
here? I assume Jack's returning. Is Jack just not gone?
No, Jack's off. Kate's gone. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this.
Thank you, Jesus. trying to dress my kid appropriately.
Sick of all of this. Sean Blanford says, afternoon, evening, everyone. No Bobert O'Neill. It's already the greatest distraction of all time. Looking forward to an amazing show. Very fair. Very
fair. It's true. Nothing but facts. Nothing but facts.
Kate, plug your stuff one more time. I feel bad. Then I'm definitely kicking you off for good.
Go. You can get Jeremy Sucks Marble shirt at Kate on Deck IC. and the Mark Order Pod, me and my co-host have a lot of fun. This is just retribution for the fact that they always pick on me. So I'm just getting my aggression out on Jeremy here. But yeah, Mark Order Pod, All Things All Elite. And then I'm just, you know, tweeting incessantly about CM Punk at Kate on Deck IC. If you guys just like want to see me freak out, I guess.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank Tremendous.
You. Get out of here.
Okay. All right. Where do we start now with wrestling talk, Jeremy? How do we do this? How do we do a show?
I have so many super chats, Joseph.
My God, more?
Yes.
Wow.
It's a crazy time. All right. I have to full. Okay. Here we go. A lot of super chats, everybody. JJ was not first today, which shows you this is a big show, right, Joseph? JJ says, one of my favorite big stars. Hope you're doing good. Wrestling feels hot. Thanks to AEW Nitro. Anything can happen. I'm here for the Couch Corner 3. The couch has been delivered. Hate to spoil it. No couch delivery in the middle of this show. JK Shaw says, still don't have a voice from games 5 and 6, but can someone tell Bobby Portis that the Fed is by all means dead? Tony's got to start sending some belts, right? JJ also says, my God, who knew Kate had a pipe bomb in her? It sounds weird. But Ryan says, great episode of AEW and a great pre-stream on the Patreon. Didn't get it to it live, but if you aren't so sub to Distraction Choice, what is wrong with y'all? Love to you. Patreon.com/TheDistraction if you want to support us. BFG says, never heard of Kate, but here's money for that promo because she's awesome. Kate does rule. I don't actually like her, but Kate does rule.
We'll get Kate on in a more extended role.
Yes, I told her that. Yes. Yeah. Kate is awesome. Please take my money and use it to replace O'Neill with her.
Big pop for Crosby over there. Look at him.
I love me some Sova says, yes, very nice, Jack. Thunder Rosa is now officially All Elite. Yes, that was announced like minutes before we came on the air.
Really?
And like we probably, yeah, I don't even know if we're even going to like talk about that. It feels like she's been All Elite, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. We're caught up on Super Chats. If you want to leave a Super Chat, get your question, comment, statement read on the air. Guys, huge news out of the wrestling world. Karrion Kross lost in less than 2 minutes to Jeff Hardy on Monday night. Jack, how are we feeling, buddy?
I can't do it anymore. I can't. I kept my promise. Like I told you guys last week on the show, I was going to watch the full weekend of WWE programming. Mm-hmm. SmackDown, Money in the Bank, Raw. With the fans back, I was going to do it. I see Kross is on Raw. We have the whole night. Like, this to me is lining up perfectly.
Yes.
Because not only does he debut, I'm DMing and tweeting all you guys. I'm like, oh, this is great. Because, oh, and he's going to squash the F out of Jeff Hardy. This is just terrific. Oh, I can't wait to. And then that happened. That actually happened. And you know what the funniest part is? The funniest part is going off the narratives. You would 100% expect Vince McMahon to call up Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, guys like that, and squash them on Raw in a minute. You would expect mm-hmm. that. The one person that you would think months ago, he's going to see this dude, pretty good size, beautiful girlfriend who's good at what she does. No way this can fail.
Sorry to hear that.
Goes out there without the beautiful girlfriend. It gets rolled up by Jeff Hardy, who, to my understanding, recently lost to one of Jinder's new goons on main event or something.
Lost to Veer.
Yes, indeed.
Veer's the pitcher one, right? The former Pirates. He's the pitcher guy? Not the bigger, sure. But bigger one's Shanky, right?
Sure.
Whatever works best for you, pal. That's fine. Jeremy?
They're not the Bollywood boys. Let's just put it that way.
We have to accept some blame in this. I'm sorry, Jack, but Jeremy, can you tell Jack that we were kind of mean here, right? We could have helped Jack on this, right?
We tried to stage intervention, didn't we?
No, but on Monday we had like a last ditch, like a chance, right? Like Sean's tweeted this, I'm not exposing anything. Sean knew, Jack. Yeah. Jeremy knew, and then eventually I knew. And any one of us could have hit you up and be like, Jack, don't want to
draw. You son of a bitch. Are you serious?
I know. I had to tell you because it feels wrong. You know, listen,
you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, we knew. We knew it could happen. Hey, look, plans change, pal. Plans change.
I mean, to cope with the loss, I have come up with some galaxy brain shit. I went to the deepest depths of my brain to figure out how that loss was actually good.
Yes. Yeah. Long-term arcs, you know. Okay, what did you come up with, Jack?
Oh, you really want to know? I'm going to kick off the show. Yes. Okay, here's my theory, okay?
Oh.
Cross is going to continue losing. He'll drop the title to Joe, which they can and can't. They'll count as a loss, okay? He'll get back to Raw and keep losing a little bit, okay? And then he's just going to keep going, Father, pray. I don't know what's happening. And that is where they eventually introduce Scarlett.
Okay.
Scarlett comes into the fold and then he can't lose. Then you're sort of telling the story that was never told in NXT about what the relationship actually is. So really, really, before you guys want to be accusing Vince McMahon of burying talent, he's actually telling a great story here.
Long-term storytelling.
Long-term booking.
Let it play out.
That's definitely what's
going on. When he's main event in WrestleMania, we're going to come back here and revisit this.
That's what's going to happen. He's going to main event WrestleMania. Yep.
Now I'm fired up.
He'll be on main event.
I'm ready to fall and pray right here.
Listen, Jack, 10 minutes for the show, you said it's time to end it. Just please put yourself out. This 10 is yourself.
No, I've changed my mind.
No, Jack. What are you doing, Jack?
Wave. Okay, look, guys, seriously though, I'm actually intrigued on your take on this, both of you, because I wrote a little thing about this. I'm not sure this doesn't actually like affect NXT's brand, because that brand is already so
viewers on Tuesday.
Yeah, like it's so in its own bubble anyway, that most of their audience is like LOL dumb Vince, right? Like,
yeah,
that extra million didn't give a shit to begin with, right? Am I wrong on this? It's more just funny for us to laugh at, right?
Yeah, no, it has no bearing on NXT. NXT is going to stay at its little 700,000 for 20 years or whatever, and then that's it.
It is true that I'm glad Jack said that, because that is true, and not a lot of people mentioned it. Cross is the most main roster NXT champ ever.
And he just got brought up in beat in 2 minutes.
That really is, in the grand scheme of things, that's what really got me the most and like really made me laugh. It's like there have been a ton of guys we've said, oh, when they get to the main roster, oh, they are so screwed. He's the last person.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Carlos Easy says, is Jack wearing a Roberto O'Neal shirt? What does your shirt say, Jack?
No,
does it say Roberto O'Neal?
It's a Roberto Duran shirt.
Much better. Much better.
Kate actually sent in money and said, do I have everybody's attention now? I hope you can like write that off or something, Kate. You don't need to pay to do that. Hannah said, I'm the one who told them. Sean didn't believe me. Well, exposing sources here is just what Hannah has done.
I thought I was pushing it far enough. I didn't realize what to do. I will say that. Sorry, Jeremy, complete the super
chat. Oh, BFG just said, y'all everything. We'll get a Territory Wars pay-per-view with New Japan, Impact, AEW, NWA. That's Bound for Glory, right? Aren't all those...
I think you'll get a New Japan show. I think the rest, Jeremy's right, will stay with Impact, being like talent coming in and out.
No, that's is that question in the context of like Territory Wars, in the sense of like Survivor Series, Raw versus SmackDown? Like, because I don't want that. I don't want that nonsense. Personally,
I think it would be. That. You know how Ring of Honor run those like one-off War of the World shows?
Yeah.
I could see. AEW running one of those, basically.
It's just not like an angle. Like that. Don't try to recreate CZW versus ROH. You know what I mean?
They got enough guys on their actual roster, right? Like you don't need to do that. I do agree. Any others, Jeremy? What do you hit?
Rob Reed says, "Oh, it's the computer, Jesus." And people think Hangman Page is 2 year clown to the AEW title.
Thanks. There you go. I do want to say, this show is obviously going to be about one particular thing. which is AEW's alleged acquisitions, right? But I do want to say that I thought WWE went about 2.5 for free in their return to crowds. Like, I thought Raw, even though, well, I wouldn't call it good by any means, at least it had stuff of note, right? Like Nikki Cross, it was a big finish, and you had seen it at the start. I thought Money in the Bank was great, and I thought SmackDown was very good. I wanted to say that because I know, Jeremy, that now that this is officially an AEW podcast, people think we are what the kids call haters, and we are. But I do want to be fair. Like, we reviewed Money in the Bank on Twitch for you guys that haven't seen that, and we liked the show a lot. I think I was, like, absurdly on it.
Yeah.
It was a good show, right? So there you go.
We're done talking about WWE, Joseph. Yes, I don't need you at the end of the show being like, sorry, guys, too much WWE talk.
I did it here. I apologize at the 19th minute.
Like last week. Sorry, guys, we wasted 30 minutes of your life. I'm sorry about that.
And it was a waste because two hours later, it's just Tamina's in Money in the Bank.
I actually want to retract my apology on that. I do no longer apologize because the fact that I was expected to talk about pay-per-view that then announced Tamina, and then it came out Bill Goldberg is the big pie in the sky. I don't care that we didn't talk about it. But I just want to get out of the way. We like the shows, guys. We are haters, but fair haters nonetheless. Now let's get excited, baby. Here we go.
Yesterday, around noon, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful said that CM Punk is in negotiations to return, in-ring return, with AEW being the leading candidate out there for that in-ring return. And then at about 8 o'clock, Cassidy Haynes of bodyslam.net reported that Daniel Bryan he's locked in. He's signed, 100% signed with the AEW. We've got Cassidy Haynes. Kyle Voss says, if O'Neill doesn't appear, we riot. Get ready to riot. He's not appearing. We've got the GOAT himself, Cassidy Haynes. Our Woj on the scene, Cass. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? It's been a hot minute, man. How you been?
It has. Like, you're out here breaking the big news, you know? You got time for us losers.
Dude, I haven't slept.
I know you haven't. I know, because you're messaging me at like 5 a.m. Like, I haven't slept at all.
Yes. Now, Cassie, now,
hold on. Look, you can get a good look at it right here. It looks like dude. I haven't slept, God. Dude. It's like, holy shit. But look at this. Oh. It's like Superman. It's like, who's that guy? That guy looks happy. He looks like he's been here. He's like he's doing his day. But, dude,
Here's the deal. We're all friends here, right? And you're going to be on this show often. We're going to do a series soon. You're a great pal of the show. However, today, you're expert insider, Cass. Okay, that's what you are, okay? Mr. Haynes,
in fact. Yeah. I can do it. Let's do this. Let's play this game.
A lot of people messaged me immediately and was like, dude, is this a for real? And I was like, I know Cass knows people. Like, I'm pretty sure that if he's run this, it's a real thing. So just talk us through the whole thing.
Think about this, though. I mean, like, if this wasn't something that I was 100% fucking positive is real, like, I mean, there's a lot on the line here if I'm wrong. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really come back from that fucking that drop and that L right there. So, I mean, if I wasn't confident in this, I wouldn't have gambled my reputation on saying that this was going to happen. So, you can see it. It's going to happen.
Right.
Hopefully that I didn't ruin the plans enough to where they pushed back and changed up what was supposed to be Arthur Ashe, which I tried to cover my ass by saying that as of the time of this fucking writing, this is the plan. But, you know, it's tentative and they could always change it, especially with what Sean reported yesterday, which – then what I heard and what I did yesterday. So, I mean, that's a lot of shit that could easily have changed that up a little bit. But as of yesterday afternoon, before Dynamite started, the plan was still Arthur Ashe at, the 22nd.
So, in fear of overly simplifying this, okay, in the wrestling media game, we hear a lot about the great scoopsters, right? And you're on that list, Cass, especially now. You're on the, you're on the Mount Rushmore. But I want you to, without blowing up your shit here, but like, talk kind of broadly about what goes into a story like this. Because I know you said to me you spent a long time on this, right? This isn't a case you're going to text me down. Like, explain that for the people.
Well, I kind of like dropped the ball a little bit too because I woke up early yesterday morning and saw a couple messages and I was like, what the fuck is this about? It was like 6 in the morning the other day. I was like, all right, I'll just get to that when I wake up. And one of them was CM Punk's theme song and the other one was Daniel Bryan's. And it was from somebody – person that hit me up with this and told me to start digging. So I just didn't ignore. I just ignored it. Wasn't paying attention. And then when I woke up, I'm like, oh shit, Sean's reporting all this shit on Punk. I'm like, wait the fucking second. Hang on. So I like got back to the guy. I was like, oh, okay. This is where we are then. So I spent all day trying to, second, third source it until I finally got some acknowledgement. And I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's fucking see if this all fits in where everybody's told me. And then here we are today. with me not sleeping. And then, like, just I was so anxious after I did it, man. I was just so, like, nervous and anxious. And I just was full of, like, of course, like, energy, too, afterward. I was like, oh, fuck. So it's, like, 4 o'clock. I'm like, all right, I'm kind of getting tired. But then I just never slept.
And from a, Cass, from a pro wrestling perspective, like, you're doing this all on your own, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I have, like, a couple people that help me, but it's not really much. Yeah. It's, like, a couple riders to chip in.
Like when we, especially in a bigger world than pro wrestling of college football, like, when one of my guys comes to me, like, I as an editor, one of the guys come to me, say, I'm hearing this about a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the steps we have to take to get there, and it's, like, you have to run this through me first. I have to hear it. Then he has to hear it. And then, but especially, like, when you drop a story like that yesterday I can't imagine, because, like, we make sure we lock it down with, like, 6-7 people before we go, okay, well, let's go. Mm-hmm. Like, stuff like that and stuff like Sean does. I can't imagine how nerve wracking that mm-hmm. is. But when you hit that send button on something like that.
Yeah, it was like, oh, and I was nervous too. Like, all right, do I sit on this and wait till I get, you know, more and more people that are, can confirm it, or do I risk being scout scooped by somebody else? And it's like, shit. So, another example of that, the Thunder Rosa AEW announcement that was just happening, I was writing that up while I was in the waiting room, because I had that shit that I had been checking on all fucking week, and I get back literally 10-15 minutes before AEW announces it. Dude, everything you said was correct. You can write that up. And I'm like, fuck yeah, here we go. And then, never mind, dude, they beat you to it. I'm like, who beat me to it? And it's, oh, AEW beat me to my own story. That's awesome. So, yeah, that had, I had that to worry about too. Like, who knows what could happen. So I was like, I better get this out, you know, now. But I did get told yesterday, not spoil the Nick Gage one. So I try not to spoil that. I didn't spoil that one, but I might have let somebody above me here. Wait, where's the above me here? like, hey man, guess what's going to happen here? I let Sean know too. I was like, hey man, do you know what's going to happen tonight? And he, I was like, well, I'm going to tell you in about 15 minutes. I think you're going to find this happening.
I don't want to be a scoopster at all, but I'm glad that I'm friends with scoopsters, because as someone who just writes all these articles, I like being able to write them hours and days beforehand.
Yeah. Get a little, because you're like, I can pre-write that though, right? I'm like, you can definitely pre-write that. Exactly. But yeah, don't burn my fucking bridge for me, please. I'm good enough at doing that myself.
Never. But yeah. I protect my guys, but.
So yeah, there was a bunch of shit I had going on yesterday that I was like, yeah, there was a bunch of stuff yesterday. It's like, all right, what can I use? What can't I use?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as I'm digging around, I'm just finding out. Well, I was finding out more things. I was like, yeah, Punk. Because I was like asking, I was like, hey, what do you guys know in the back about Punk? What does everybody say? And they're like, this is the first I've heard about it. What the fuck are you talking about? Because I guess nobody was paying attention. So I sent the fucking article to a couple people, and they're like, this is the first I've heard about this. And then, like, as the more I started talking, I was like, they're like, I heard something totally different. Oh, is this what you heard? And it's like, oh, shit, how'd you hear about that? And I'm like, ah, fuck, here we go. And then just more things just started snowballing. I'm like, as I was digging, I'm like, God damn it. All right. I got a lot to fucking filter through this afternoon. So, yeah, it was just a very stressful, like, 4 hours leading up to Dynamite last night, too.
So, a couple things. So, I know Cass and I, we are kind of kindred spirits in the sense that we are WCW guys, right? Cass, much more, he's homegrown. He saw it. He lived it. I am one kind of going back through the vault. As a exactly.
Don't ignore this bullshit, whatever that is there. But this is the good, real Vader. This is your Great American Bash 1990 Vader right here. Wow. The one that fucked up my man, the Z-Man.
That's a personal story. We explain all the time. Now, here's the thing. As a fan, yesterday, as a news day, was like, if you had any doubts that they're in this game and they're playing seriously in this game, it was a game changer. So all you know, kind of reporting aside, what was your reaction as a fan? Because I think all of us can speak. Like, we were just so fired up about the idea of it. Are you the same?
I'm excited as hell, honestly. I couldn't tell you the last time I was excited for wrestling. I started getting excited again back in May when Sean and I were in Double or Nothing, because it was fun. It was a good atmosphere again. I'm like, all right, this is what I enjoy about this. So it was starting to finally happen again. But, yeah, dude, yeah, this is fun. This is going to be fun, man. I mean, think of it. When was the last time any of you guys were excited about anything wrestling related? WWE just sucks the fun out of it.
This is my first experience of anything like this, dude, as a fan. Yeah. You know, like, I wasn't there for the Monday Night Wars. I honestly thought this was the kind of thing that you just wouldn't see ever again.
Oh, dude, I was young for the Monday Night Wars, though, because I was like 13. And, like, I was
so we're about the same age.
Yeah, I'm 38. So I was
I'm 37. Yeah.
So. Nice. I was at the second time Scott Hall appeared at Nitro was in Asheville, and I was fucking second row for that. So it was the one where he teases that next week Nash will be there. So like that was where it was. But you know, I'd been reading the magazines, of course, because we didn't have internet back then, so we just reading like The Wrestler and Wrestling Illustrated and all the other wrestling magazines that you could buy, and they were talking about them coming in finally. So I was like, oh, shit, I think the other guy is. And it's also before cell phones, so I went to go get some snacks with me and my buddy because we were like in middle school and it was just us there. Our parents dropped us off. And I remember rounded the concession stand, and there's Kevin Nash using the payphone bank with his damn fanny pack and his like acid wash jeans. The you know, the uniform for a wrestler in the 90s. I'm like, oh shit. And he just looks at me and just kind of like nods or whatever, just points and just turns and walks away. And I'm like, fuck, he just went backstage. Kevin Nash out here calling somebody in Asheville on a payphone for some fucking reason. But yeah. So I was like, but this is middle of the show too. So then I had no idea if he was going to show up. So, but then when, you know, Hall starts talking about him, I'm like, I know what the fuck he's talking about for sure. Cause we just saw him getting popcorn earlier. And he was calling whoever the fuck he's calling. But yeah, so that's exciting, man. I'm looking forward to this. And, you know, there's going to be more shit because that's just two things that he's teased that he said he's had planned for the rest of the year. He told us that a long time ago.
He said he's had stuff up his sleeve. Tony Khan says he's had stuff up his sleeve like all year.
Right. Dude, he long term plans like a son of a bitch, man. It's crazy. I watched it firsthand lay out a year's worth of plannings when he was like, shh, you don't say a word. We were at the after
party, when he's throwing shots back with you.
I like listened to the entire year's worth of plans before Brody and Matt Hardy even showed up, and I was just like, God, you've got like 9 months laid out here at the bar.
So that's the thing, Cass. You said earlier, like, you left it open. Clearly, this being out there now could change plans, right? Clearly,
yeah.
Your instinct, the shirt, knowing what plans you know. There you go. Knowing what you know, your instincts. Do you think that could be the case with Brian? I think we all kind of with Punk, it's like, bro, all out Chicago.
Yeah, that you gotta do Chicago.
Yeah, but with Brian, what do you think, Tess?
He has to show up in New York. That's the biggest fuck you to WWE ever, right there, right? To have their.
I didn't even think about it like that. You're right. Yeah.
To have their huge, like, they were wanting him to run creative in the back, and they were like, dude, he was going to be a fucking Hall of Famer if he stuck around, right? Everybody thinks that, correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, to have him debut in New York, which, you know, WWE's never been in Arthur Ashe Stadium, so. I think that's a pretty big, you know. I don't see how you don't do that. You know what I mean? That's that stadium and it's there. But I mean, like you said, I mean, they could always be like, oh, now that it's out, maybe we'll throw a curveball and do it on another week. But I mean, it's going to happen inevitably anytime. You know, I mean, it's there. So, and the Punk stuff, all that checked out with one of my sources too yesterday when I was vetting things. I was like, all that shit that Sean wrote. All that shit. I heard the same shit. So I heard some other stuff too that I can't talk about. And I'm like, well, that's even more interesting.
You stay easy.
I'll get the text later.
Do we have anything else to ask the top scoops during the game? Obviously, other than our own Sean Masetta, apparently he's pretty good. I don't know. I've heard he's good.
Did you guys talk about the NXT tapings last night in their reshoot of that cross segment?
NXT.
Yeah, I don't know if Jack heard about that. Jack, did you see that information?
Right. Listen, yeah, I heard about it.
Jack is a Karrion Kross guy, as he made it out.
It's very sad. It's very tough.
Yeah.
We're talking long-term booking. I just laid out the cross, but I can't do it anymore.
This is a special opportunity. We have the top scoops during the game right now. Do we have anything else to ask him about this situation that we can tell him without him killing his whole business?
So next weekend's going to be fun too, guys, because if you want to get me on, I'll be front row next week.
Actually. Are you going to get punched? Do you think you'll get hit?
I want MJF? Blood on me. Yeah. I want blood or have beer spilled on me. Somebody else just spilled beer or blood on me than myself usually, so... That would be.
Will you bring a sign for us?
I don't know. Am I allowed to do that as a media guy to bring a sign for our own projects? Isn't that the ultimate?
Do what you want, Matt, pal? You scoop Daniel Bryan.
I think so, right? Speaking of which, I guess I got to go to New York now, right? For fucking Arthur Ashe for that.
I feel like I go to New York right now.
I had to apply for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, shit, I guess I have to go.
I mean, you'll be in Chicago, right, Cass?
All week.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And the next week, I'm going to the 4th at Homecoming in Jacksonville, too.
You go to those Jacksonville shows. You were always hitting me up going to Jacksonville. It's six hours
on the interstate. It's nothing, man. I'm there quick.
My God.
Well, yeah. I'll see you in Chicago. Oh shit, I'm rooming with you in St. Louis. That's gonna be trouble.
I was telling Sean about the last time I was in Jacksonville, how I went out drinking with like Bear Country and a bunch of the guys afterwards, and I was like, yeah, I ended up with somebody put their finger in my butt in the Waffle House. He's like, what the fuck did you talk about? What? And I'm like, yeah, dude, you missed out. You should go with me. So you're gonna have fun.
Baltimore.
I was like, hey, you want to come with me? That'll be fun, right?
Yes, so. Baltimore and Winston-Salem, which I'll see you there, dude, as well. I'm coming back for Winston-Salem.
Also, it's worth noting for the folks who enjoyed Cass here, he will be on our next TW series.
Yes.
Now the BPW is gone. You'll be stepping in on that. So
Cass and I just
forgot about WrestleCade. Now you got me all excited. I totally forgot. Mm-hmm. I gotta fucking redeem myself after getting dragged out of the Marriott in front of the entire WrestleCade.
Let's just do it again. Yeah, Cass and I are gonna kick the shit out of Joseph and O'Neill in the TW series. Kidding me?
Dude, yeah.
Cass, plug anything.
Who do we got on our team?
It's me and you. We're gonna dominate everybody. We pick our own wrestlers. I think they'll pick some stuff for us, but it doesn't matter. We're gonna kill everybody. We're gonna kick their ass.
What do I want to plug? I mean, guys, you can find me. I'm everywhere. I'm on Twitter at Casshole with 3 O's. And that's pretty much it. You search that on any of the social medias and you'll find me is probably that on it. And bodyslam.net. Just come find me, man. I'm around. I'm re-energized. I've been doing a lot better the last couple months. Man, I was down, man. I was struggling earlier this year. But, yeah, we're back at it, dude. Let's go. So
we're going to have fun in Chicago. We're going to go around and kick the shit out of people.
Have you already got your room for Chicago?
Yeah. I don't remember what it is, but the girlfriend's coming with me, so be nice and don't get me in too much trouble.
Be nice, Cash. You heard
I'm a fucking gentleman.
Cass is just gonna be like, you want, some, you want this? You want that? You want this? I was like, hey, bro. Wait.
Yeah, no. We're good. No, it'll be fun, man. I'm excited. But no, I'll be there all week. I don't know if I'm gonna stay in the city and drive out to Hoffman and Schaumburg or just fucking stay at a hotel. I haven't figured it out yet. But yeah,
see you all weekend, I'm sure, and we'll have fun. And then St. Louis, Joseph's gonna be there. We're just gonna fight a bunch of people all weekend, right, Joseph?
You guys might have to pull us apart. It might be a damn bro.
No, man. We're gonna win them 6-man titles. Then we'll do it brand new.
I can do it. St. Louis, I've never been to St. Louis. So this is gonna be fun. Let's go, man. All right. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Thank you, Cass. Appreciate you, buddy.
Wow. I'm happy.
I still can't believe this, guys. I really can't. I cannot believe what happened yesterday.
Let me do super chats, and then we will talk
about it. We'll
dive into it. Rob Reed says, big Cass in the house. Cass rules. Chad says, the trio is the best. Let's get Kate on here more often. No, she's banned. JR says, Joe reaction to the Brian news was worth distraction choice sub alone. It was great. Like, again, I just jumped on briefly to talk and Cass sent me that and I was like, oh, all right. JK Shaw says, Cass goes from breaking the Daniel Bryan news and Andrade sex jokes to the distraction TEW series and a hopeful new future. This rules. Cass is the GOAT. We have
nothing
more.
But facts.
We got more. A lot of super chats here, too. Rob Reed, this is the Hall of Nash level in wrestling news. JJ says, Punk and Bryan are the new outsiders. And it's the layered thumbnail. Carlos says, big Cass with a scoop since he was a teenager. And I think that's the last one. All right, we're caught up on Super Chats.
Okay.
Thank you to Cass. Thank you to Kate.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about this. Punk Bryan seemingly going to AEW.
I want to chat on Jack on this because I actually don't know where he's at on Punk because we've done like 80 hours of audio, but he's not a guy that's active, right? What was your – this? Forget Bryan for a minute because, my God, we get emotional. We talk about Dan. But for you – you see the news about Punk. What's your initial reaction?
I was indifferent. I know it's going to sound strange because I know everyone was blowing up on Twitter. And look, it's huge news. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't excited. Like, I'm excited to see this. Yeah. I just have reservations about CM Punk because, I mean, we're finally ending this 7-year, I don't want to call it a charade, but this 7-year stance of F pro wrestling.
Right.
It's so far in the rearview mirror. Look at my comic books, and I'm and then now all of a sudden, and look, since the inception of AEW, I think we all kind of figured in the back of our minds that he was going to end up there at some point.
Yeah, he sounded open-minded. Yeah, I agree.
Yet it still didn't feel real yesterday. It was kind of like, this is, like I said, indifference is the best way I could describe my reaction to seeing that yesterday, because I'm excited to see him get, I'm excited to see what he does. But I'd be lying too if I said I'm not worried about, is this guy, like, does he just want some extra money? Is he just looking for some big paychecks? Is it like Brian? Well, when we get to him, I'm the complete opposite on Brian.
Same.
But Punk, like, what are you looking for here, man? Like, what's the end game here? What's the plan?
Yeah, so I'm in an almost identical position there. So I want to chat on Jeremy here. Are you alongside us on this? In fear of being like, look, we're not here to be negative or whatever. Like, it's exciting. But we certainly have kind of a caution with this whole thing. What about you, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've never, like, I understand the appeal of Punk and everything. It's been 7 years. Like, he's been out the game for so long. In ring-wise, like, I don't know, like, what he's really going to give you. He's going to be, like, promos and stuff. He'll be great. Like, he'll do great promos. But there's so, like, he stood out in WWE because there just weren't that many great promos in WWE. There's so many good promo guys in AEW to where I don't know if he's gonna like completely stand out like he used to. And then in ring stuff again, like the in ring is just, it's worlds above where it used to be. The guy can still tell a story though, right? And he's got a lot of stories to tell after 7 years away. I'm with you guys of like, all right, what are you looking for? Is this just a paycheck type of thing that you're coming back for? Are you like really going to be all in and you're going to commit to everything here? But I was still excited because I was mainly excited because it's like, it's just finally happening.
Yeah.
And it felt for so long that it's just, it wasn't going to happen. Talked about. Is there part of me that believes like, it's like 2 years too late? Maybe a little bit like, this would have been cooler
backstage.
If it happened.
Backstage was a killer for me. I have to say, the UFC was... Listen, there's no shame in losing the UFC. It wasn't great for that brand. I found the WWE backstage thing to be a little bit kind of... I rolled my eyes at that, you know? It was a little bit like, oh, really?
Plus, I understand that not every WWE fan is a UFC fan. But if you have even the smallest interest in the UFC, if you thought Punk was going to go in there and do anything remotely positive... You're out of your mind. Like, if you went in there expecting him to do, you're crazy.
It never made sense, right? It never ever made any sense.
He was never even like a great athlete. Like, even.
He wasn't a great athlete. Because people don't understand that there are, just like pro wrestling, there are regional MMA promotions spread out throughout the country. Like, these superstars you see now, they all cut their teeth in these different regions in front of 100-some people, just like independent wrestlers. And then they make their way to the UFC. Dana White took this guy off his name and said, get in there, pal.
Yeah, so this continued down this path a little bit, and then we'll talk the more positive sides of it. So I'm going to be honest, Jeremy. I even have reservations about the promo because he's just been out of the game, you know?
Yeah.
And, like... Part of what made Punk a great promo was that just never-ending chip on his shoulder. If he's just cool now and he can't refine that, that's a different guy. And I'm not going to judge his promo ability based on the fact he didn't give a shit about WWE backstage. Who would? But what I'm saying is we have to be aware of the idea that he's like his whole game could just be rusty beyond repair. We don't know, right?
Chip on the shoulder, Joseph, I mean, working for WWE's main competitor – that might be enough for him. That might be enough for him to go all in, you know.
Right? In an ideal world, this is the time for him to say, okay, I'm gonna actually finish my career in style by helping the compare, you know, make a run at the company that I left in such, you know, infamous fashion. That's the ideal. But what I'm saying is, if we go down the idea what you said, Jack, of like, he just wants a little bit of money, we'll see, right? It's impossible to know. The other issues are, we don't know what his situation is with the locker room. We just don't. Punk's a unique guy.
Well, one specific person, if we're being honest.
There's one that's established, but like his whole vibe, Punk's an interesting cat, right? I'm not saying he's an arsehole. I don't know the guy, but he's not someone that's like, oh man, he's an easy fit. Like he's rubs people the wrong way sometimes. It is what it is. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? Like you have these issues that you establish. But now let's be honest, ladies. We all love Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan. He's not the level of attraction that Punk is back in a wrestling ring. There's a novelty to this. There is an innate novelty to CM Punk in a wrestling ring again. And I think that's the biggest thing here. I think there is something to this, just in the idea of it more than anything else.
So I don't know if I agree with that, because I feel like the same people who have the novelty of, oh man, CM Punk is back, are the same people who are going to be like, Daniel Bryan's outside of WWE. I think there's a lot of crossover there.
I think there is a lot of fans that stop watching WWE that were disgruntled, but just like Punk, never went elsewhere for their fandom. I honestly believe that. I have a friend that fits that bill. I want to be clear about this, because I know our title today got people upset. I don't think that when they sign these two guys, they're doing 2 million viewers. I wouldn't be surprised if their viewership went up 100K, 200K, and that was it. I would not be surprised. Ratings are different now, man. Like, you can't expect it to do a big jump. It's just TV is what it is, right? It's a perception thing, though. And if you can get Punk back to the place that, like, it kind of felt like he would never return to at one point, that's a bigger deal, I think, than Brian, who we all know loves wrestling. Like Brian doing this is less surprising, I guess, is my point. Now, with that all being said, I cannot tell you how excited I am for Brian, man. I honestly, it's one of the most, if you're getting ahead of myself, but I trust Cass, so I'm just going to say it. The idea of that music hitting, him coming out in front of a full arena, it already stands in my mind as like, this could be one of the most incredible moments as a fan I've experienced. Like, it is a special thing. I can't wait. I know you're with me on this, Jack and Jeremy, too. Like, this is special, right?
Go ahead, Jack.
And again, yeah, and I, again, I'm not opposed to the Brian stuff being known in advance. I love surprises in wrestling as much as anything, like, just that you don't see coming. But I think that if you let people know, like, not just a report, I think if you're AEW, maybe wait another month or so and say, look, Arthur Ashe Stadium, the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, is going to be there. The energy in that stadium is going to be 10 times what it was, just waiting for him.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with people knowing that he's going to be there and he's with that company and that's where he works now. And that dude is going to go in there. I've told you guys before, you know, no joke, no bit. I think just objectively that Bryan Danielson's the greatest professional wrestler of all time. I think he's already established that. He's the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. And now, in AEW's infancy, the first real competitor WWE in over 20 years, Brian's going to go there and say, okay, I have to do this, 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 this. And then I will, if I have to, do this, this, this. I'll work with him. I'll work with him. I'll work with her. I'll work with him. And he's just going to, and he's going to give it 150% everything he's got because he feels refreshed.
Yeah.
I'm happy that Brian made a great life for himself in WWE. I really am. The dude made millions.
And a legacy too, man.
The scrappy little guy.
Right.
The scrappy little guy that we watched wrestle in front of 10 people just 15 years ago. That dude became one of the greatest superstars that company's ever had. But lately, it's just been, he's kind of like, he's just a guy that's, what am I doing? Like, why do I just, I keep going. I'm like Punk's promo. He's just a spoke on the wheel. And Bryan Danielson's not built like that.
This is what's interesting, right, is the counterpoint to that, which I wouldn't make, but I'm sure someone in the chat will say, and that's fair enough. He main evented Mania, right? Now, Jeremy, I said this to him last night. There are two things in recent months that I look back on and circle, okay? Number one, that Tony Khan promo where he, like, puffed his chest out about the New Japan thing, which in hindsight feels like a hugely significant moment in which he knew we are in the driver's seat.
He 100% knew, especially when it came to New Japan, because what?
And he knew what that meant, it seems like, right?
Yeah.
And the second one, and Jeremy, you can expand on both of these after, but the second one is that story of Brian where he told BT, I believe, I'm out there in the WrestleMania main event and I felt nothing.
Yeah.
I think he used the word, I felt like I was about to die out there because I felt like I didn't have any, there was nothing here. And that feels so important in this story, man.
Well, you know what's funny about that, though, Joseph? Because that's great. That's a great point, and I forgot about that because that really hit me hard, too, when I saw that he said that. Because there are dudes out there, which goes back to me saying that Brian's built different. Like, there are dudes out there who would kill to be shoehorned into a WrestleMania main event. Brian wanted nothing to do with that match. He wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yet he's a big enough star of that company where they said, no, you have to. You have to be in that match. And Brian was like, yeah, but I don't wanna. And like, he didn't have fun doing it. Like, he's just, the dude is built different. Like, he didn't want to.
Here was his exact quote. He said, I felt very out of body in it. When I'm wrestling, I feel everything and I feel like I'm enjoying it. This was weird. I was out there and it felt like I was detached. It was so strange that before the match started, I got this strange feeling like, oh no, is this what it's like before you die? Am I going to die? Huh? Well, okay. I don't know why or how it happened, but it was unlike anything I felt while wrestling. He's walking out there before the main event of WrestleMania. Fans are back. He hasn't wrestled in front of fans in over a year. And to have that kind of feeling, it certainly felt like he talked about it the whole time. He's like, Edge and Roman, like, that program didn't need me. He was very shoehorned into that.
This is what's crazy.
And we loved it. Go ahead, Joseph.
But I was going to say, Joe, please continue. But like, that to me was so similar to how his fans felt. It felt hollow. It didn't feel right. And him saying the same thing was fascinating. But Jeremy, sorry, continue your point.
Yeah, he said, like, it didn't need me. And, you know, we loved it because we loved Daniel Bryan and everything. But it didn't – that match did not need him. It's just, like, they don't know what else to do with him. So, hey, let's just put him in WrestleMania – let's do the WrestleMania 30 story all over again. And I think for Bryan, like, based on these comments – I'm not trying to put words in this guy's mouth. I don't know how this guy was feeling. But – maybe he felt that same way of like, we just did this 7 years ago. Like, this is like kind of what you have for me right now. We know Bryan is a creative guy and he wants the boost. This dude's losing to Chad Gable. He's losing to Drew Gulak and stuff. Like, he'll put anybody over. He'll work with everybody and anybody. And he's like, so the best you have for me is just let's do what we did 7 years ago, except it doesn't mean nearly as much because it's not the time and the people don't actually want this. I mean, you look at a guy like Christian, everybody praises how Christian, great mind for the business, one of the smartest guys in the business. Christian obviously heard whatever WWE had planned for him creatively and was like, yeah, I don't know. This doesn't seem like it's for me. Let me talk to another company. And he goes to AEW and he seems happy with what he's doing. I feel like Bryan is kind of that same type of guy of like, you got to have something creative for these guys because, I mean, how many people have left WWE? FTR, another example. A lot of these guys, like, they just want to work and they want to be creatively fulfilled, right? That's what they want. And you ain't getting that in WWE.
That's like the AEW gives such a different feel. I mean, ironic timing since, you know, he had the biggest moment last night, which I'm sure we'll get to. But like that quote Lance Archer gave a few months ago, last year, whenever it was, but I don't want to work anywhere else. I don't care if I job for 2 years straight. I don't want to work anywhere else. I love this. I love coming to work at this place. Yeah. He was like, I don't care if I lose every match for 2 years. I love coming to work here. I love working with these people. And now what you're seeing for veteran guys like Bryan and Punk, and might not carry as much weight with Punk, but, and you're going to see it with other stars is when they start to hear what it's like to work at that place. Of course they're going to want to go there, no matter what they're doing.
Yeah. Here's the – I'm going to do this for the sake of fairness. Everyone knows what I think of Bryan, and we should continue to talk about the positives. I have one slight concern. You mentioned Christian there. This is an insane thing to say because, this is a negative, and it's the biggest compliment to the man. My one concern with Bryan is that he's so selfless, he lessens his own star power. And if that's what he does, the product will be fine for it. I'm not
going to. Well, Cass's report did mention that he asked for creative control, right? I mean, creative, but that might be a strong.
What
phrase.
Does that mean?
Like, creative, place, right? Creative, like it's where Bryan can, like if he feels, I'm sure he maybe sold it to Tony Khan. Like, I'm not going to Hulk Hogan you, but if there's something that really bothers me, can I come to you and we like seriously talk about it?
Jeremy mentioned him putting guys over, and I'll mention this as an example because he did an interview with Sean a week ago and reminded me of it. Buddy Murphy was seen backstage, right? Which got him a match with Roman. This guy, Bryan Danielson, is so outrageous that even though he knew full well they had no intention of using Buddy Murphy, he just put him over next week. The next week he got pinned clean in the middle, and it's like his idea of creative control is, can you let me wrestle this guy and lose rather than wrestling that guy? Like, okay, but he's wild, man. And I mean that with love. Like, it's good for the product. I'm just worrying, you know, big picture.
Did Bryan do that there because he knew his time there was limited and he's like, we got to build these other people?
Maybe.
He comes to AEW and he just has a different mindset of like, they actually kind of know, like, they'll build these future guys. Let me come in here. Let me have these great matches. Because the Young Bucks, you can believe what you want what they say. They've said, like, hey, we want to lose to these guys. And Tony Khan has been like, no, 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 it's better if you guys beat these guys.
Yeah.
So the report from Cass says he wanted to work less days for comparable money. He wanted the ability to work Japan, and he wanted to have creative input in his character. So the Japan thing, going back to what Joseph said, and JJ sent his super chat, says, remember the TK tweet about the landscape of pro wrestling shifting? That was like before the Sting thing. Right, like that was the
day of PAX return.
Yes, off the full.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And everybody shit on him because they're like, oh PAX. And now we're coming to find out. I don't think Tony meant
long term. Just
the PAX return.
I think the New Japan when he cut that promo, which there we talked about it, Joseph. Like you're two minds of this. One is he's either gonna like poke Nick Khan, and Nick Khan's gonna be like, all right, let's just get this stuff done. Nick Khan clearly doesn't give a shit about any of that.
No, it's wrestling.
Yeah, he doesn't care about any of that stuff. The other was Tony Khan knows what he's doing. He knows that he's got stuff locked in, and he feels confident enough to go out there and put his ass on the line with this promo because he does this, and then what, like Nagata came in like a couple weeks later, right? Like they did all of this stuff like a couple weeks later with New Japan and everything. They just did like the Kenta deal and everything. So it's like, all right, you've talked to them. You haven't done anything. Like we have people on, we have New Japan people on our show right now. Yeah. So Tony Khan definitely knew that there wasn't much to that New Japan WWE thing.
Brian really, he is the last piece of that locker room puzzle. And what I mean by that is you're bringing in these quote unquote veterans, like Big Show, Mark Henry, even a Christian will count, even though he's active. But Brian is that perfect mix of he'll lead that locker room. He will be one of those locker room leaders. I know he's not an elite. I know Brian's going to step in. He's going to be a locker room leader in AEW. And he's going to go out there and consistently have the best matches, helping the product grow. Like he's going to do everything. Like Big Show and Henry aren't going to go out there. They haven't even been out there yet in the ring. But Brian's gonna be a five-tool player as far as veteran goes to keep that company stable.
Joseph. They're gonna do the booty pro gimmick with Brian. They're gonna send him out there on Elevation, be like, here you go. Go wrestle an hour.
He's gonna wrestle on the show, you know that.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Jack has just nailed it perfectly. Okay. He's the perfect mix because he just main event WrestleMania. Because he's a star. Definitely a veteran. The guy's 40, and you know he's been around now for 20 years. It was one of the world's best. But as Jack just said, you can make the argument, especially with him free to explore whatever match style he wants.
Yeah,
he could still be the greatest wrestler on earth. He could still be the number one guy that you trust to have an epic out there. So, listen, the fact that's my one concern is that he's too nice. He's telling. I do not mean to downplay CM Punk, who again is probably a bigger attraction. If your response to the Daniel Bryan news is exclusively, but what will it do for the ratings? I'm sorry, I think you're missing a big part.
Yeah, you're missing the point.
This is a historically great wrestler who's beloved. And frankly, we don't put a lot of stock in who these people are as real people. But like the read on Bryan is he's the best of this shitty business, right? In ring and out, he's the best of it. Right, but this is not just some other sign. I love Andrade, Aleister Black, cool, but all these guys, FTR, great team. This is Daniel Bryan, man. This is special. Yeah,
this is different. This is different. This is really, really different. Yeah. Like people, I think still, and I don't understand it. Like I'm calling him the greatest of all time, but it seems to me like there's still people who just don't get what Daniel Bryan really is in the history of this business. Like
what you mean?
Like who he is. Mm-hmm. Like it's insane to me.
Drew Nicholas says, I feel bad for the person next to me at Arthur Ashe because I might legitimately cry on their shoulders if Brian comes out. He's been one of my absolute favorites. It'll be a top three moment live all time for me. I was just looking up how far Arthur Ashe is. It's about a 7-hour drive for me. I'm strongly, strongly considering just going to that
it's
show.
It's going to be special. It's going to be
a lot of the pals are going to be there. I mean, the Brian thing. Fact Channel says, I hope Brian comes back heel with Punk, AEW, NWO. Like, no. I don't think they're doing this invasion type thing. I do want to make this point, though, of we talked about Brian and Punk. Like, they went from – they were the two guys, the two indie guys who went from ROH, went to WWE.
They represent a generation. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Right. Like they were that shift from ROH to WWE. Yep. They can be, kind of be the same thing here, right? Like I know AEW's already caused a little bit of a shift with everything. Like now they feel like they're shifting things again by going right. to from WWE essentially, especially in the case of Bryan, who just main evented WrestleMania, to AEW.
Listen, I mean, who's Kurt, go ahead.
Go ahead, no, Joseph, you go ahead.
No, I think, but the important thing to note here is, and I know Jeremy knows this, but I want to hear it before people get upset, is like, we need to be careful getting lost in like the, well, but they're still going to 1.2, or, you know, Raw's at 1.2. It's like, that's perception is reality, man. When you, if we're actually talking about a wrestling company signing CM Punk and Bryan Danielson in a month, like they're going to debut within a month of each other, that is unlike anything we have seen since 1996. It's not that it's twisted. That is like outrageous. So, yes, but Jack, what was you going to say, my friend?
No, and you know what? I just thought, like, part of me, because I've really been thinking, Joseph, about what you said about Punk and the chip on his shoulder. Mm. And you know, see, if there's what, like, CM Punk is not a stupid person. CM right. Punk is a very smart man. So part of me kind of wonders, because I said, you know, when AEW was constructed, we all said, all right, it's only a matter of time before he. I think there's a good chance Punk took the last 2 years and said, let me see how this place does. Let me see if this place is really a competitor to WWE. And if it is, and if I feel the time is right, I'll go help them out. And Punk's probably looking at this place by now like we all are and going, okay, they're legit. All right, let me go help them. Let me go help them stick it to those assholes over there.
Here's a tick in that regard, and this might suggest you're correct. We all saw that tweet, right, where someone asked Punk about the guys he's interested in, and he's listing Hobbs, Pillman, these younger guys that, frankly, I think the world of Hobbs, but you have to watch the product to be aware, oh, this guy's got something, right?
Yeah.
I think there's something to it. I think in the last year especially, I also think it's worth saying, and this is without getting too philosophical here, I think the last year and change has made us all kind of like, just double check where we're at a little bit, you know? And it wouldn't surprise me if Punk has thought about, oh, man, I'd like to finish this thing, like, on my terms, you know? I'd like to finish this with a big, grand statement. And the fact that he was talking about wrestling guys in AEW tells you all you need to know. I think you're right. I think he's following his product and thinks they've got a chance. But I want to do some fantasy booking and have some fun after. But nonetheless, we have a guest to hit here, Jeremy, and then we'll rotate back. Because I want to let this guy have his moment. I don't want to make him wait.
Real quickly on the ratings, because okay. This is going to transition. Okay. The rating stuff, if you care about that stuff, I mean, sure, I kind of get it. But like, look, we just watched the NBA Finals. I didn't care that it was the Bucks and the Suns. We had some great games out of this. I didn't care that the ratings was down 20% or whatever. AEW ain't going out of business. WWE ain't going out of business. They ain't losing their time slots or anything because of the ratings. Like, if that is your main concern, oh, it didn't boost it to 1.5 million. Just give me entertaining and dope shit. That's all I care about. Like, yes. And if you're a fan, like, unless you're in the business and like working actively on that side, just care about the dope shit in front of you. That's it.
Listen, I'm all for people being analytical. I love that. And I'm definitely not the guy that's going to be like, fuck ratings, I don't matter. But like, I mean, the point here is, and what Jeremy's trying to say, and what I was doing a poor job of explaining is, if that's your soul thinking yes. point, when you see Daniel Bryan elsewhere, I don't know, man. I feel like it's time to readjust. But nonetheless, speaking of the NBA, here he comes.
Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul, and a pinnacle ball throws it down.
Bucks in six.
Look at this guy. So I want to establish that here. Alex, we're also happy for you. Obviously, you're a friend of the show. And yeah. You know how this shitty show works, right? Yeah, O'Neill comes on, we all hurl abuse him. Now, I want to be clear. I want to take this back to day one. Yeah. When we first started this segment, we would give Bob 3 minutes to talk uninterrupted, right?
Yeah.
Jeremy, Alex needs 3 minutes uninterrupted. We all need to sit and enjoy this. This is a victory. Now, I remember him coming on before the season, and it was like we were all a little unsure. I was unsure. It ended much worse for me than it did him. But nonetheless, let's let Alex enjoy this. Here we go, friends.
All right, Alex, your time starts now.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning. 1971, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Big O, Oscar Robertson, bring the only title to Milwaukee. Now, they were in the finals in 74 a few years later, but they didn't win. So 50 years later, now that's cosmic. 50 years to the day. Like, and also in the final game to cement the 50 years later championship, Giannis scores how many? 50. It's cosmic. Like, that's the other thing. And what the chant is Bucks in six. That didn't come out this year. That's been the chant for 10 years. Since Brandon Jennings came up with the phrase when they were the eight seed playing the Miami Heat, the LeBron, Dwayne, Bosh Heat. They said, "What do you think is going to happen in the series?" And Brandon Jennings says, "Bucks in six." That's for the culture. And that's been the thing the whole damn time. So the fact that they actually won in six is amazing by itself. Also, the entire time they did this entire playoffs, every time they clinched the series, they did it on the road. They didn't have a chance at all this entire playoff run to clinch it in front of their home fans, and they finally did because Bucks in six happened in Milwaukee in front of 65,000 people outside, which is absolutely patently insane. I mean, what more can you say except for the fact that, you know, Giannis bent his leg halfway the other direction 2.5 weeks ago, took a couple of games off and said, "I feel fine." That dude is made of adamantium. Like, all he did was his first game back on a trick knee, drop 20 and 17, and then the next game 40, but they lose because nobody else helped him. The next game 40 and they win. The next game, the most iconic block you've ever seen in the finals. In game 5, he had that amazing alley-oop to win the game. And then in game 6, he's like, "Get on my back, fellas. I'm going to score 50 and take us all the way to the finish line." It's an amazing series, an amazing story for this team. Now, I was on here at the beginning of the season to do some predictions. Joe, you asked me, what's your confidence in them winning the title this year? And I said, like, over the next few years, like an 8 or a 9, but this year, only a 5. And honestly, like, it had to, like, Kyrie Irving had to jump and hurt his ankle, and Harden had to get hurt, and everybody in the West got hurt, and they gave it, and Dario Saric got hurt for the Suns, and that was a big deal. We were able, because they had to have DeAndre Ayton in there or a 6'5" guy guarding Giannis. So I'm not saying this wasn't cosmic and in our favor, but somehow you only play the people in front of you. We did. We won. They'll never take it away from us, baby! Bucks in six! Bucks in six! Bucks in six. Bucks in six.
I'm not kicking Alex off because I actually have respect for him, unlike O'Neal.
He prepared for it too, right? He was ready to be gone.
Timed it very, very well.
Yes. I was watching the countdown. Well.
Yes, we should let Alex plug his stuff. He's a big star, you know.
Oh, of course.
They asked
course.
To get Alex on the show, right? Because he's too big. He's too big. But it costs too much money, guys.
Alex, when these were the finals, the cold open idea was going to be if the Bucks won something with Alex, and if the Suns won, I was going to do like a fake Chris Paul press conference. Nice. That was the plan, and then everything happened this week, and I was like, well, shit, like it's tough to do this as the cold open. And then Alex messaged me, and he's like, "Do I do the show?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're gonna bump O'Neal, and we're gonna do Alex's alley oop." And I'll create a graphic and everything, and that's what we'll do instead. So, no, we were always going to have Alex on the show, especially if the Bucks won for this, because, look, we had to, right? We had to.
Had to happen. It had to happen, mostly because I was brought on before the season to make my predictions, but when Giannis had signed the Supermax, and I was like, oh, thank God he did. And then we talked about all the people that he might have to go through. And I was like, oh no, LeBron James is going to be there in the finals. Even if they get to the finals, they'll never beat LeBron.
But it worked out. Like you said, you can only play the people in front of you, right? It ain't.
Right.
If DiVincenzo doesn't get hurt, they would have beat a healthy Nets. It would have been fine. So
yes.
You can only play the people in front. I'm happy for your Bucks as a fan of another small market team that had a bitch made superstar who left, unlike Giannis. I was happy to see that Giannis took the hard way, did it hard way.
There's another wonderful, because they erased all their demons, because the Heat like basically swept them out last year. So this year they swept out the Heat, and 2 years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals, they won the first two games at home, the second one in a big blowout, and they were like, well, this is it, we're going to the finals. And then they lost the next four straight to the Raptors. So I know how Suns fans feel. Like, we're in those first two games at home, and everybody's saying, oh, you're going to sweep. And you start thinking it to yourself, And then all of a sudden you lose that first game on the road, but you're like, that's fine. Whatever. Like, no, like it became a cosmic thing where like Giannis just says, you know what? Somehow I'm made out of circuits and cybernetics. I can't be hurt. So just get on my back. All the rest of you get on my back and I'm going to score 50. It was amazing.
Wow. You can only be happy for the Pals, right? And I was going to mention too, Jay, like, yeah, we're happy for both of you guys. All of the Pals, it's a win for loyalty, with all due respect. It stung a little bit because we made complete idiots of ourselves. Jack, I include you in that. But, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, you can only love to see it. It's fair.
Hey, listen, you, hey, Holbert, next year you're going to get Dame Lillard, probably coming to Philly.
Dude, you are insane if you think I allow myself to think these things, bro.
Come on, man.
I'm ready to be out there with, like, Doc just being like, we're running better than four this year, guys. It'll be different, I promise. Like,
we've created a whole new position for Ben to play, where he just runs around with his hands, like, next to him. He doesn't have to touch the ball or shoot or anything. Just gets to throw his body.
Yeah, look, Giannis can't shoot, and look what he was doing. That's all Ben Simmons has got to do. Just be Giannis.
To do is be underneath the basket with only Trae Young guarding him and go up and dunk it. That's all he's got to do. But that wasn't good for Ben.
I got to put this super chat on screen. I'm not going to read it because it's very mean at this time. There you go. You got your super chat on the screen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think there were 65,000 people in Jurassic Park.
Dude, that was insane. Mm. All of those.
That was crazy.
There. Absolutely insane. And Drew says, Sour Graph Society appreciation super chat. Alex, let the people know where they find you. Oh, well, Rob Reed also says, I would legit subscribe to FIFA Select for Sour Graphs alone, even outside of the scoops and everything else. And Kylo Voss says, big fan of Alex since the ghost of John Candy days.
That was a long time ago that I came up with the character of the ghost of John Candy. you can find me on Twitter at PJ Tucker drunk at the celebration day was hilarious. Just chugging like he was stone cold with the beers, but it was champagne. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. I do the Sour Graps show on Fightful Select twice a week, talking about Raw and also the slow demise, not even slow demise of NXT. Vince McMahon doused NXT and gasoline and lit the match. Like NXT was Bray Wyatt the Fiend and Vince McMahon was Randy Orton.
I guess while we were on here, they announced that Walter and Ilya are going to do the thing at Takeover in Vegas.
Yeah.
Our friend Bob O'Neill goes, boy, I can't believe they're not doing this in Vegas or something. I said, Bob, in case you haven't figured it out by now, they're not allowed on the family vacations anymore.
They're not allowed to go to the family reunion. No.
We don't take the kids to the vacations anymore. It's adults only.
Yep, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Alex, good to see you, buddy.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate you, buddy.
Alex, man. He's great. You know, I was worried about 90 seconds. I was like, I don't know if he has 3 minutes of content. And I looked back at the clock and it was 2:50. And he was like, anyway, Bucks in sync. Oh, man. Well.
Tremaine says, I appreciate you guys, but am I wrong? And wanting to save the surprise for the debuts. Plus, I'm over Punk, thinks he's a bit of a douche, i.e. Cole Cabana. Now, Brian, I'm excited for it. I get wanting to save the surprises, but like, if you can report it.
It was like when Tony Khan, I mean, I know he clarified it, but when they said that TNT was a little upset that they didn't tell them about the Sting day. Like, people have to understand, like, yeah, these surprises are cool, like in Nick Gage last night that you don't see coming. But you also have to remember, it's a company tied to a TV channel. Like, you have to promote some things, and some things just have to be, because ratings aren't the end-all be-all, but from a TV executive standpoint, you're still looking for ratings.
Yeah.
So if you say, hey, man, like you bring Punk Brian, like I said, like I'd be like, okay, can we advertise Daniel Bryan, please? Like, if you really, can we advertise him? I mean, Punk, do what you want, pay-per-view, Chicago, but Brian, can we advertise him? Because that's just the way it is.
The one thing I will say, too, if that comment was in reference to, like, the report getting out there, I completely get that and sympathize, but what I will say, everyone kind of knew John was going to be there on Sunday, right? Like, if you were in on Twitter even that day, like, I saw it, not even from scoops and stuff, it was just someone tweeted, like, Cena, so... The pop was almost bigger because people were waiting for the first sound of that music to hear, you know? Yeah. And that's the one thing I would say, like, All Out and went the Wednesday before or after, whenever it is with Punk. Like, it's just because we kind of know, it doesn't make it any more electric when it happens, because sometimes the anticipation is the most exciting part. Us being able to do an hour of talk about it is a beautiful thing, right? Not just for us dipshits trying to fill the content here, but like, it's exciting. And that's what I want to get into here, Jim. I don't know if you're still here, but I think we should do a little, have a little fun with fantasy booking this shit. There's a lot to talk about. But Jack,
I mean, today.
Ray Callahan Jr. says, Jack may be right. Punk wants to make sure TK doesn't become Herb Abrams in the UWF.
Herb Abrams!
make sure he doesn't come back to a B show protecting his brand.
Mm-hmm.
No, yes. I have to say something quick about the Cena thing. I know we don't talk about the World Wrestling Federation here, but I like a lot of other people. I watched that return back about 50 times minimum between Sunday and
it was
Monday.
Great. Yeah, it was great. It was a really good show, man.
The star of that moment was unquestionably Roman Reigns. I think I tweeted it out. Roman's reaction was just so incredible. Of here's this return of the conquering babyface. People are going nuts. 9 times out of 10, the heel's going, oh my God, I'm in trouble now. Roman's just looking at him like, oh, you son really? Of a now I have to hurt you now too.
Yeah, it's good.
Really? Like you understand what's good. Like, enjoy this because you understand what I'm going to do to you, right? Like, Roman did not look concerned. Actually, when the trumpets hit and they had the camera on Roman, he was annoyed. Mm-hmm. Not worried. He was annoyed, like, this guy.
One concern, and I will not elaborate on this much because I don't get in trouble. Hey, John, like, can we... We've had like a year to come up with some ideas. Can we not do the he's not as over as he thinks he is? Wink, wink. Like, can we not do that? Because this is like a dream match. Can we not just completely go back to what we did last time with all the shoot stuff? But that's just me. I'd rather he not do that. I don't like when QT Marshall does it. I don't like when John Cena does it. It's all
no,
like,
I forget who I saw tweeted. So I apologize for not being able to credit this, but I saw that it's really as simple as I left the torch. I gave you the torch and you turned into an asshole.
Yes. Yes. The only problem is the feud before muddies the waters because when they were both top baby faces, they didn't like each other. So it's a weird, I don't know, it's a weird dynamic. I have faith in Cena killing it in the promos, and I'm really glad that like he's getting some reps in on these house shows because I think that's huge for John. We talked about it on Twitch before, right, Jack? Like the idea that he's going to get in there after a year or two without any actual match is very worrying to me. So get some reps. He's a guy that motivation-wise, I don't worry about. Seeing as he's driving up a classic, I'm excited.
It also gives me a newfound respect for John because I understand that John is a Hollywood guy now, but he's also kind of proving that when he does come back, when he does make these comebacks, he's as all in as he can be. He's not just going to come wave high to the crowd on an anniversary show or something. And when he's does have this time, he's going to come back and he's going to give them a fair shake as much as he can.
Yes, now I do want to go back here because there was someone who was just doing a super chat earlier about them coming in as heels, and there's all these different ideas. Can you guys just like bear with me for a minute while I map out my initial attempt at what you do with CM Punk and Bryan Danielson? Can you rock me on this for a minute? I think we all agree that when Kenny drops that belt to Hangman, a downward spiral of sorts would be fitting, right? How do you guys feel about Punk turning up at All Out? Then you book it. A just dethroned champion of Kenny Omega who lost it to Hangman. CM Punk, Kenny Omega, off Rush Stadium. Then at the end of the show, the Elite are putting the boots to Punk. Final countdown, Brian's there. Now look, I haven't thought this through much. This is broad strokes. How do you feel about running that match as the off Rush moment? Punk and Omega?
I think it's a great idea. I love it, Joseph. I think it's a great idea.
Great. I'm glad I did it then. Jeremy, what do you think?
What were you worried about? I think that's great.
Because, you know, fantasy bookings, I don't put Rod right, but look, man, this is the fun of this stuff. I have to say this, and again, Jeremy, you can dunk on my idea if you don't like it after, but I really, if there's one message I want to get across in this podcast, I'm trying to do it every week because I'm trying to hit this drum. Guys, you've got to enjoy this time while you can, man. This is a crazy time. We had about 5 different potential titles for this podcast. I mean, I'll say it again, this time I never thought I'd experience a wrestling fan. It's bonkers. Enjoy the ride, whether you're on that team or the other, if you want to be on a team, if you need to be on one, whether you like this product or that one. It's just, it's fun. But Jeremy, does my idea suck or do you agree with Jack? It's very good.
I agree with Jack. It's very good. Like, if you're going to do it, like doing Punk, Omega, main event, mm-hmm. Arthur Ashe, and then we get Brian to cap that show.
I mean, of course, though, you're probably the only pushback you would get on it probably is they're gonna say you just went through all of this trouble to crown Hangman, mm-hmm. and their first stadium show. They might look at it, Joseph, as a little WWE-ish in the sense that your newly crowned world champion isn't going to be in the main event of.
It doesn't matter because Hangman's not going to have the title at the Arthur Ashe show because Miro's going to beat him the show after All Out. He's going to take his title. He says, God didn't want you to have that belt for
I do think someone said this on Twitter, and I can't credit him because Jack and I have terrible memories, but whoever this was, I really do appreciate their back and forth because they said to me, it might have even been on our Patreon show, that was like, you would have to let Hangman get his moment, get to the back and let things breathe. Yeah, then hit cult personality. That, you don't want to swallow up Hangman's moment, right? You can't.
So that's the thing with debuting Punk at Chicago is it feels like an end of the show type thing. And we all kind of think that Hangman's winning the title at the end of the show. It's like you put all this time into this Hangman story. You don't want to. And we know they kind of have a history of overshadowing stuff or throwing away from stuff too quickly. You don't want to overshadow that Hangman moment by bringing out CM Punk.
Agree. No, it's definitely something you need to work around. You know, there's rough edges, and I agree with Jack. That's a fair, you don't want it to be overshadowing a guy for CM Punk. You're right, your guy, Hangman.
And only because the Arthur Ashe show is so close to All Out. It's 2 weeks later. Like, if this was a few months down the road, I wouldn't care. But if it's 2 weeks after Hangman's coronation, that would probably be frowned upon a little bit, as in like, well, you're not going to give him the main event. That makes no sense. Right. Unless they take your idea, Joe, and do a triple threat.
They could do that. I was wondering.
And save the one-on-one Kenny Punk match, you know?
This is the one thing I will say, and this is not a concern because the level's so high, like, I'm with it, but these pay-per-view cycles are going to be, like, they're going to have a lot of guys to try and get on these shows. And I do hope they just create a culture of, listen, guys, some of you are not going to be on these pay-per-views. Because if they try and fit everyone on, it could be a problem, I think. They have a lot of guys of note now, you know? So just the same to watch when we get even more guys coming in, it's like...
And the consensus issue with AEW's pay-per-views already is that they're too long.
Yes, and they have a lot of, like, Monday, you know?
Yeah, they're too long, and now you're just adding all this because, like, you can't go longer.
Right. This is interesting. Let's be honest. They do four pay-per-views a year. The TV is their bread and butter. It just is. That may be weird to us traditionalists, but it is. I'm not really concerned. By the way, one thing I will say, I know we don't need to give AEW any more credit than we already do. Dude, their creative system is legit, like, excellent. Mm-hmm. The way they rotate guys in and out, someone always has something going on, it's great.
Because, and I know this is a crazy concept that people like to shit on. You know why? Because they have wrestling people booking the wrestling angles. Imagine that.
I can't believe that's controversial, but it is. You or I am probably Jeremy Tyrone on an island with that shit, man. It's crazy.
I'm going to – guys, we're pushing up against the 90 minutes. I don't like going over 90 minutes here. I'm going to bring O'Neal on because, I don't know why.
I don't have a good reason why. Distraction legend Kate just mentioned in the chat, and I do want to say this. What I just said does not stand for women's division, which is – in serious need of help, like needs a genuine sit down, come to Jesus moment. Not in, the talent is one thing, the usage is pitiful. I want to make, because Kate's right, too often we, you know, as white guys are like, hey man, seems good to me. That's a big issue. You're right, Kate. I apologize.
I mean, Baker and Nyla had a good match last night. I don't think there was anything else from the women's division on that show.
But... I don't know how I'd describe that match, but I appreciate it. You liked it.
It was Robert O'Neal.
What's up, guys? It's a hell of a show today.
I must say, I know we're never afraid to put ourselves over. I'm really proud of how I pulled the show off because it was a little bit frightening on paper. We had a lot of moving pieces. Yeah. And now we've got to the point I wanted to get to, which is where Bob comes on, because that means we've done it. We've won. It's finished.
Real quickly, Joseph. You always put me over for putting the shows together, booking the shows and everything. Joseph was great at booking this show and putting it, because you came to me with Kate's idea. Yeah, the ratings were 1.14. Yeah, I'm writing the article right now. So growth, they're doing well. Joseph came to me with the Kate idea. He mentioned that, you know, we should try to get Cass on. And then before the show, he's like, so here's kind of the rundown here of how we want to play this, right? And I said, yeah, this is good. So Joseph did have, this was a co-booking this week. Usually, you know, you rely on me to do a lot of that stuff. You just sit back, just be like, all right, when are we showing up? What are we doing? But you had a good hand in putting this show together. So thank you, Joseph.
I mean, it's about time. We've been doing this show now for like 19 months. I feel like I probably should show up and creatively at some point, but I appreciate it. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
My energy as ever, Bob. For those of you who don't know, we are headed to Twitch after this, and I can't believe what I'm about to say. So we're going to do Twitch probably for an hour and a half, maybe two, I don't know. Jet will be here as long as it can be, of course. He has a real life. However, at the end of that, we'll be headed to Patreon, which you can sign up for just $1. One a month. You can add more if you want to, but it's just one to sign up. And you can join Bob and I to watch Lockdown 2005, which means that for the next 5 hours, I'll be talking to Robert O'Neill in some form or fashion about professional wrestling. So I'm not really rushing to talk to him now, but nonetheless, Joseph, he's doing
Joseph,
well.
Joseph, Joseph.
Yes?
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Me too, buddy.
You know what's funny about the Lockdown thing is, remember when we first did one, the TNA one, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a live show. And you're like, no, it's not. That's stupid. And now apparently it is a live show from what I heard.
I mean, that seems like a complete lie. I have no idea why I would say that's stupid, but fine. No, like, you're a scoops now, so you know shit I don't know.
Oh, man. I'm actually mad because I have a Goldberg shirt somewhere and I can't find it. I was going to wear it, really pop Jesus Jack.
Christ, man. Fix your life.
Oh. Okay, we asked Bob before we go what he thinks of these sign-ins, which we do on Twitch.
I'll do it on Twitch. Let's plug that.
Everyone hit their promotions, right?
Filter everybody to the Twitch. Kylo Voss says, best show ever, and O'Neill to finish it off. I mean,
yeah, Kylo was the only person that was nice to me at the beginning, by the way. I remember everyone who said something about me today.
Wait, what?
What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do about it, O'Neill?
What are you? You'll see.
He's going to kick the shit out of him. He's going to beat the shit.
O'Neill, yesterday, he DMs me and he's like, I should have got tickets to All Out, huh? And I'm like, yeah, you fucking coward. He's like, maybe this is why I don't DM you, Jeremy, is because you're very mean to me. I was like, that's actually fair. I felt very bad after that, Oni. I was like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't be nice to him.
I mean, he had a point.
Yeah. O'Neill knows I love him. I genuinely hope you know that I do love you. If I didn't, I would not have you on this show.
Oh yeah. Well, before the Brian stuff yesterday, like, you guys spent a good portion of that stream putting me over, which I appreciated. So
yes, we did.
That was nice.
What stream?
The live stream.
Yeah, the one before Dynamite.
I forgot people watched that. I thought I was just joking about some scene. You're right, we did. We like Robert O'Neill. People think we don't. Listen, here's the scoop. Jack knows this too, because I mentioned it to him in the DMs and we popped. We have now made Rob a symbol of the people we don't actually like. So we use him to air our grievances. And he's beautiful. It's glorious. And
what a transformation.
Well, I even said that to you yesterday. I'm like, oh, how many people think that we're like legitimately mad at each other all the time?
The majority of your friends think that. Okay, let's hit our plugs and get the hell out of here. Bob,
O'Neill, do you have anything to plug?
You follow me on Twitter at RobertO'Neill31.
That's all you do. You never log off.
Exactly. Jack,
hit him with the plugs.
Just follow me at JCrosbyCBS.
Well,
Joseph?
I have nothing, man. If you've been with us this long, they know the deal, right? I'm very thankful for all the support. Guys, say again, let's enjoy the ride. This is a special time. We said it was going to be special when things opened up. We did not see this, though. This is next level. So enjoy it.
Guys will be on Twitch, twitch.tv/ Sean Blanford says, love you, Bob. twitch.tv/ Fightful Gaming. We'll be over there in about 5 minutes or so. I got to finish up this Dynamite ratings post. Again, twitch.tv/ Fightful Gaming. Thank you, guys. A lot of viewers today. I know a lot of it is off of Sean's news, and we had Cass on, but this is a tremendous show, Joseph. Quite possibly the best show we've ever done. On paper, like, it was great, and I think the action delivered. The action delivered was just great. I mean, I think this show kicked the shit out of listing your boy yesterday. I will say that. All right, everybody? Guys. We'll see you on Twitch. What, Jack? What? Go!
Oh, the Dynamite ratings are in.
Yes, I know. I said it earlier.
You
stepped on my Tony Khan bit.
My bad.
The Dynamite ratings.
I don't know how I missed that. Look, I'm out of it, man.
Twitch.tv/FiveOK.
All Karrion Kross.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.